Stand with Crypto Alliance is a nonprofit dedicated to engaging and empowering the crypto community, both online and at events. Stop number 4 in its America Loves Crypto Tour comes to downtown Milwaukee tonight. We'll tell you all about that later. Logan Dobson, the executive director of Stand with Crypto, joins us via phone this morning. Logan, happy Friday. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, apart from the fact that I'm actually from the Bay Area originally. My beloved San Francisco Giants just got through getting beat up by the Milwaukee Brewers. So I confess I'm a little salty about that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We are sliding into the World Series here in Milwaukee. We're ready for a big end of the season with our crew. So
absolutely. It's a good team.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be a fun end of the season for sure. So on the Alliance website, it says, crypto's a major force in our economy, our politics, and our culture, and we need to continue that momentum. So just tell us simply, if cryptocurrency is that major sport and that just major force that's coming, in simple, easy terms, what is it and why should we care about crypto? Because I think still we're living in a world where people kind of think, you know, crypto's kind of this scam that I don't understand.
And look, I totally get it. I think there's definitely a perception problem. That's one of the things that our organization is looking to challenge and change over time. So crypto encompasses actually a wide variety of different technologies. The one that people are probably most familiar with would be, you know, your Bitcoins or your Ethereums or your Solanas, which are cryptocurrencies.
Right. Okay.
So that's a way to transfer value, you know, monetary value between people. But there's also sort of the technology layer of it. So that's just blockchain technology overall.
So give us a simple explanation of blockchain.
Yeah, sure. So it's a ledger or a way that you can mark down transactions that is not controlled by any one person. So that's why it's decentralized. It can't be hacked and can't be, you know, shut down by a government or by a sort of outside organization.
Okay.
Technology, you can build all sorts of stuff. Like I said, the one people are most familiar with is stuff like Bitcoin, digital money, digital assets. But you can build art on top of it. There are musicians who release songs as non-fungible tokens, which is just basically a way of, you know, releasing a digital file that has a marked owner, someone who has purchased it or who is the owner of that one song. So artists can have a cool relationship with their fans where they release a song and one person is able to buy one track or a commemorative track or something along those lines. So there's a lot of different applications. There's a whole other world of stuff called decentralized finance where people are building lending platforms and are building ways for folks to save and invest and come together and pool their money for interesting, you know, projects. But, you know, there's almost too much to talk about.
Right.
But at the basics, it's that blockchain technology. It's that public ledger that you can transact upon that most cryptocurrencies and many crypto projects are built on top of.
All right. Logan Dobson, the executive director of Stand with Crypto, joins us. Logan, when we come back, where's Bitcoin mined? Why should I buy it? And just the 101 is, hey, I have $20 and I'm going to invest it in Bitcoin. What is that going to get me today? Then we'll talk about your big event happening tonight. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Stand with Crypto is mobilizing crypto owners across the country. Its national tour is in town tonight. Logan Dobson, the executive director, joins us. So, Logan, I'm looking at my Coinbase account right now, and I'm seeing the price of Bitcoin at $58,496.18. Tell me what specifically that means if I'm investing my U.S. dollars into Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty simple. That means that if you want to buy one Bitcoin, that's what the market is telling us that it costs. And if you had one and you wanted to sell it, that's about what you could get for it. So, yeah, Bitcoin is sort of the OG of cryptocurrencies. It's sort of the longest existing, the widest adopted, and it has really carved out a big niche as sort of a store of value. A kind of investment in the overall cryptocurrency movement. Mm-hmm. that you've seen, I mean, there's been incredible institutional buy-in lately. I mean, these big Wall Street firms, they're now Bitcoin ETFs, so you don't even have to purchase a Bitcoin directly if you don't want to, although, you know, I like transacting directly with the currency, but you can go buy an ETF on the stock market that'll track the price of Bitcoin. And it really has, like I said, carved out that niche as sort of a long-term store of value and sort of digital gold that people are kind of looking for. You know, in the same way that gold prices go up and down over time, Bitcoin prices go up and down over time, but it's just a way to kind of store value. And some people view it as a hedge against inflation.
Okay.
Some people view it as sort of a bet on the overall innovation economy. There's a lot of different ways to view it, but Bitcoin itself is divisible, I think, down to like a hundredth of a million. So you can go buy a dollar worth of Bitcoin if you want, even though one single Bitcoin is worth, you know, 58,000. Right. It goes out to 8 or 9 decimal points.
So okay.
When you load up that Coinbase account or anything else,
right,
you can get a small fraction.
So I can buy and hold. Yes. All right. So what as your group is going around the country, what are some of the specific regulatory frameworks that you're advocating for in terms of innovation while also protecting consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the key message here is really that the overall crypto community wants these guidelines. You know, we want some regulation. We want consumer protections, and we want there to be pretty clear rules written by the government to accomplish all those goals. I mean, over last summer, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bipartisan piece of legislation called the Financial Innovation and Technology for the 21st Century Act that was supported by around 200 Republicans in the House, but also critically over 70 Democrats. So really a truly piece of bipartisan legislation, which is, as we all know, kind of rare these days.
Right.
And that had, you know, clear sort of delineations where it said, hey, you know, the federal government wants to oversee the crypto market, and this is the agency that's going to do it, and these are the rules that they're going to govern by, and these are the consumer protections that need to be upheld. And that's something that I think the industry is really craving, and that crypto innovators wish that they had, because how they're operating right now is crypto innovators don't feel like they even know what the rules are, and they would love to follow them, but
right,
the rules are not written down anywhere, and there's been the sort of enforcement by lawsuit, essentially, where the government is not telling the crypto community and crypto innovators and entrepreneurs what the rules are, but then they're coming in later and saying, oh, well, you broke the rules that we didn't tell you what
right
they were.
And by having regulatory frameworks, you'll have more protections for not only the consumers, but on kind of both sides of the coin, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a big issue, you mentioned the company Coinbase, who's a great supporter of Stand With Crypto, and I myself am a Coinbase fan, though I don't work there.
Okay.
But they are a U.S.-based company. And they try to follow all the U.S.-based rules. But there are some competitors in the crypto space that are based overseas. And even if, you know, they pass legislation, would not feel that they were necessarily governed by that. And so providing these sort of frameworks and providing these guardrails for consumers and the guidelines for companies will help U.S.-based companies, one, create jobs and create value here in our country,
mm-hmm,
but also will protect Americans from these sort of overseas operators where, you know, as it currently stands, no one is governed by any set of rules. So why wouldn't they go with whatever the overseas sort of exchange is? Whereas if we had clearer rules and regulations, I would assume that Americans would kind of gravitate towards the America-based organizations that would be governed by,
right,
you know, slightly safer.
We're talking with Logan Dobson, executive director of Stand With Crypto. Logan, when we come back, we'll talk about the event happening in downtown Milwaukee tonight. And I want to get your thoughts on the specific economic benefits around crypto and when you think wide-scale adoption is coming. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A lot of people are weighing in on the WTMJ talk and text line. It's 855-616-1620. Going back to my original question on bleacher tickets for the 1982 World Series from the 847. I don't know the price of the bleacher ticket, but I paid $50 for a standing room ticket for Game 5. Just give you a little hint. Bleacher ticket was much less than $50. But we'll talk about that in the last segment of the show. Logan Dobson, executive director of Stand With Crypto. So, Logan, how long will it be before I can go to a World Series and use my coins, my Bitcoin, to buy beer?
You know, I don't think it'll be very long at all. I mean, we're starting to see more and more businesses going what we call on-chain, that is, on the blockchain. over time. I think one of the big innovations that's really helping this thing called stable coins, which are essentially cryptocurrencies, but that are pegged, one-to-one to the U.S. dollar. That's making it a lot easier to transact because, you know, I love Bitcoin. I think it's a phenomenal innovation, but it is a little tough to try to buy something with a coin that, you know, is worth $58,000 one day and $65,000 the next day. Whereas stable coins, you can, you know, sort of convert some of your Bitcoin into stable coins, and then that holds its dollar value, and it makes it a little easier for the business to accept and for you to spend. So that as stable coins sort of get more and more adoption, I think that's where you'll see real payments adoption, and that's something that a lot of companies in the space are working very hard on.
So what are your discussions on a national level with the banking system? I mean, if I were to walk into my local bank today and say I want to deposit my Bitcoin, you know, it's not going to be federally insured. It's probably not. I'm probably going to get a side eye and say, hey, go do something else somewhere else. What's the banking what's the banking path for crypto?
Well, I think you're seeing a lot more cooperation between banks and the crypto industry. I think, like I just said, stable coins are a big area of cooperation because that could be a way that maybe banking customers could be moving their money a lot faster and a lot easier than it currently takes. You know, I mean, if you've ever tried to transfer money from one account to a different one at a different bank, it can take days and days, and maybe you need it faster or cheaper. And I think those are innovations that'll definitely help. As far as, you know, being able to deposit your assets, that might be a little far off. But of course, you know, if you do what's called cold storage, which is you store your Bitcoin on a thumb drive or on something that's not even connected to the internet, which you can do, I don't know, you can go drop it in a safe deposit box. It'll sit there just like the rest of your jewels and, you know, gold bars or anything else you store in there.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. So in terms of kind of long-term economic viability as a medium of exchange, you're going to talk to people tonight. What's your goal around the event and kind of what you want to do big picture?
Yeah, so let me first just put in a big plug for our event tonight in Milwaukee at the Red Rock Saloon. Doors open at 5 o'clock. There's going to be free food, free drinks, a lot of sort of community interaction. You're going to hear from local political leaders. You're going to hear from local entrepreneurs, people who are building what we call Web3, you know, the third iteration of the internet that sort of encompasses all crypto and blockchain. Web3 innovators and entrepreneurs. And there's going to be an awesome little concert from a real rising star named Jesse Murph, who's agreed to play a little show for us. So you get all sorts of awesome stuff. And I will say, from our previous stops on the tour, the most interesting parts have been those panels with local entrepreneurs, with local innovators. And that's been a really fun part for us, to just be able to highlight people in cities like Milwaukee who are doing interesting things with this technology.
Yeah, you have five.
I did a big plug and then I forgot your question.
Well, no, so you have five different crypto entrepreneurs in a roundtable talking about their businesses and how they kind of plan to leverage cryptocurrency and create economic business models to move forward.
Exactly.
All right. And last night you were in Detroit?
That is true, yep.
And who was the headliner in Detroit?
Oh, well, that one was a very special one for us. So we have the rapper Big Sean, who's very popular for a lot of his collaborations with people like Usher and other folks. But Big Sean also, to my knowledge, is the only rapper who has ever name-dropped Ethereum, which is one of the most popular cryptocurrencies, in a track. So it's been a lot of fun to be able to work with some of these artists who themselves are actually pretty passionate about crypto. And that was a big one last night. We had a packed house at the I think it's called the Logger House there in downtown Detroit, and just 300 plus people all having a good time. But like I said, you know, a lot of people were there to talk about the technology, to talk about policy, and the fact that Big Sean was playing was awesome. But these are not just, you know, free concerts that people are coming to see the show, although we certainly hope people have a good time. They actually are more like blockchain technology networking events, and people are having a lot of fun at them.
Well, according to a lot of estimates, you know, roughly 640,000 Wisconsinites own crypto. So, I mean, that's more than the people that live in Milwaukee. So there's a big group that's interested in the future of cryptocurrency for sure. Logan Dobson is the executive director of Stand With Crypto. Tonight's event, 5 p.m. at the Red Rock Saloon on Water Street. Have a good event and enjoy the weekend in beautiful Milwaukee, Logan.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and giving me this chance to speak to your audience.
Of course.